And it kind of kicked off kind of in an odd way. We were getting ready to go to the fireworks in the afternoon, early morning, actually. They were planning to go that night. And it was on Friday. I think it was on Friday. No, it was on Saturday. Saturday. And so Saturday morning, the kids are all excited. We're going to go down. We're going to see the fireworks. And we get news that the night before, the guy who is letting off the fireworks was killed lighting the fireworks. And been doing it for 45 years. And an errant one just went and got him in the head. A wonderful man. Had been doing shows all around. Volunteered, didn't make any money. Just went and did it for the goodness of his heart. And he passed. His name was Bob Johnson. And it was really sad to me to see some of the response of the community. 75% of the community on Facebook, and overall there was a parade that night. It was very supportive. Let's support the family. But there was that element, like there is every place, that people were going, well, why can't they have the fireworks? It's like, wow, that's selfish. That's really selfish, you know, to think about that, and even in a time like that. And so it got me thinking about our topic that we're going to talk about today. By the way, if I didn't dismiss the kids, go ahead and go to kids to your classes if you'd like to go. I think I forgot to do that. So if you're a child and you'd like to go, go on back. It got me thinking about who we are as people. And so I already knew that I was going to be talking about, I'm calling this series Hot Topics, things that that are on the front burner of our society, things that we are dealing with as a church, things that we deal with as the world, things that we deal with as a nation. And the word that kept coming to my mind was, where do I go after we've talked about our character? Well, I'm going to talk about the next 2 weeks about our identity, and who we are. Abby did a very good job of leading us this morning. One of her songs was, I'm a Child of God. And that's the essence of my lesson today. But we don't often live like we are children of God. We act like we are children of a lesser God, of a God who cannot do things. And so today, if I had to have a title for my lesson, I would say my title is this: do what you can with what you got. Do what you can with what you got. Whatever God gave you, do that, and do that as the best you can with what you have. If you have your Bibles open to just one time today, we've got several of them up here, but they're just one-shot verses. But turn to Psalms 139, and it's actually verse 14. Hold on that. When people are hurting, when people need most, is a simple truth. Not a simplistic truth, but a simple truth. It's not enough to tell people who are hurting. It is not enough to tell people who are hurting that Jesus is the answer, because the church has been about that for years and years and years. Of course, we, the church, know that Jesus is the answer, but we must show that Jesus is the answer. And that's our task as Jesus' people, to show who Christ is. It's not enough to say, pray, read your Bible, go to church. You got to help people who God wants to change their lives. God wants to take your little bit and make it into something so much bigger. Psalms 139:14 says this: thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. Guys, if you're sitting next to your wife, only if you're sitting next to your wife, whisper in her ear right now, honey, you are wonderfully complex. Go ahead and do that. And then wives, whisper back, you're amazingly simple. Because us guys, we're kind of like an on and off switch. Here's on, here's off. Hit it, which one, you know? Girls are like walking into a cockpit of a 747 and looking at all the buttons and going, which one do I need to push now? Which one? That's just the way that it is. I know you ladies are disagreeing with that, but that's okay. The Bible says that we are wonderfully complex people. We are complex to the fact that Ecclesiastes 7:18 says this: a person who fears God deals responsibly with all reality, not just a piece of it. We deal with all reality, not just a bit. We have to take it all in. And that's why when it comes to our identity, we've got to look at all of who we are, because we don't often do that. We don't talk about it in school. We don't talk about it in the church very much, who we are. It is not spoken of very much. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at some hot topics. Today, our topic is this topic of identity. It's identity. And the culture is buzz with this word identity, because so many people are confused who they are. And so whatever comes, whatever happens, whatever shows up, we tend to gravitate towards that, and we say, that's who I am. I'm this. So we say we want to be different, but then we're not, because we're like so many others that are seeking to find who they really are. This week we're going to look at how God made us to function with our identity. And we're going to talk about some factors. It's part one today, so you got to come back next week. You got to come back, because next week we're going to talk about the answer. Today I want to talk about some of the issues, the factors that make us in who we are, identity, because it shapes who you are. It shapes how you respond. It shapes how you live your life. You were meant, as Pat said, to be a light, to be a light to your community. And many of you, your light has gone out because you don't know who you are. If somebody asks you today, what did Jeff talk about? Here's what you're going to say. Do him what you can with what you got. That's what Jeff talked about today. Do him what you can with what you got. What do I mean by that? I mean your identity, who God made you to be. That's what you got to take and do it, because it's not fair. It's not fair. You are so different than everybody else. And you look around and you see other people and they're so gifted in one area and you're so not. And you see other people, they can do this and you can't. And so it's very easy to look around and say, I've got to grab something that says, this is who I am. If you remember, there's a story in the Bible called the Parable of the Talents. And Jesus says the master goes out and he gives one man 10 talents and he gives another guy 5 talents and another one that goes off and he make the most. He says, I want you to take all these talents and I want you to go out and I want you to make the most of it. Go out and make the most of it. That's what God did with us. I've given you this talent. Go do something with it. Now, we all didn't get the same talents. The point of the parable of talents is this, that we all don't get the same thing. We get the good and we get the bad. We are all so very different. That's good. It's not horrible. It's good. We are all different. But these factors that create us, our identity, they make us who we are. These factors that God dealt to us, he gave them to you to use. He made them when he was thinking of you. He said, here is the thing I want you to be in this world. And it is our job to live that out. And most of us, many of us, are not doing that. If you ever played poker, I am an avid poker player. In 5-card stud poker, you're able to play the cards that you're dealt with. That's all you can play. If you've never played, you won't understand my lesson today, but hopefully you will. You don't get to mix and match. You play the cards you got. Here's what is dealt to you. You do the cards that are given to you. That's how life is. God gave us either the 1 talent or 5 talents or 10 talents. You and I are to use those talents to the best of our ability. Use what you got. Use what you got and do what you can with it. There are some things that you have been dealt in life and you didn't choose them. You didn't choose them at all. Everything in this world is broken. The weather is broken. We have tornadoes. We have earthquakes, typhoons. But everything in heaven works correctly. Everything. Your bodies don't work like they should. You get sick. We are broken. Our relationships. We try to find some belongingness. We try to find somebody who loves us, who says, I will love you till the day we die. And then all of a sudden, you don't. Relationships are broken. Our country is broken because we are broken people. There's a couple facts that we have to look at today in order to get to our identity. And so here's three things to think about as we move into these factors that make us us. Everything in your life makes these factors so important because every one of us in here, we have imperfections in us. When God created us, he created us with imperfections. You say, really? No, he made us perfect, and we still, because of sin, we have imperfections. Everything has imperfections. That's fact number one. Fact number two is God sent Jesus as a Savior to correct those factors. To give us a way, to give us a perfection, to give us a way to go forward. And then fact number three, the Bible teaches that one day, now listen to me, don't check out. One day, you're going to have to give an account for what you did with what you got. To the best of your ability, God expects you to play the hand that you got. To do what you can with what you have. The good news of the Bible tells us that there is a way through this. The first one is this. Using the card analogy, I'm going to use my magic deck of cards. There's going to be no magic today because I will screw it up. But there is going to be some supernatural things that are going to happen because I believe God wants to speak to your heart. The first card is going to be the Ten of Spades. All of you are looking up here. All of you, what's he doing? What's he doing? I saw all these heads pop up. They were down at their phones. Whoa, so what's he doing up there? The Ten of Spades, the first factor that makes you you, is your biology, your chemistry. Remember that. The Ten of Spades is what? Your biology, your chemistry. You have biology. It's a fact. You have biology. It's your DNA. It's in your genes. It's in your hormones. It is a chemical makeup level. Everything that happens in your life happens in your body because of chemicals. God made you to have those chemicals. Some of you were born, for instance, with hypersensitivity to pain. Some of you, not so much. You can get banged on the head with a hammer and you're like, oh, that wasn't much. Doesn't make you bad. Just makes you, that's who you are. Some of you like it hot. Some of you like it cold. It doesn't make you bad or good. That's just the way, it's your chemistry. Some of you were born different ways. And that's just the way it is. So this Ten of Spades, it lets us to one chemical. I bumped into this by a commercial, and I started doing a deep dive in it last week. And the chemical is called I practiced this all week, and I'm going to screw it up. Oxytocin. Everybody say oxytocin. Okay. It's a chemical that creates connection. God made us with that chemical. And if you've ever heard of this chemical, it's a chemical that matters. It's a chemical that bonds you to other people. It's a chemical that allows you to connect with others. If you are low in oxytocin, you are having a difficult time connecting with other people. That may be some of the reasons some of you are the way you are, because you're low on oxytocin. It's a chemical that bonds us together. Oxytocin is released in a mother when she nurses a baby. When she puts that baby to her breast, it releases oxytocin. And only the baby doesn't get it, but the mother gets it. And their bonding chemical that binds them together. It's an amazing chemical that God made to bring us together, to enjoy, to love that, ooh, that euphoric feeling that comes. When a husband and wife do what a husband and wife do in private, it releases oxytocin in both the husband and the wife, and it's a bond, and it bonds them emotionally together. That was God's idea. That's why God says don't have sex with anybody outside of marriage. Because you're going to be bonding emotionally to that person that is not your mate, that was not promised to you, and you didn't promise to them. And you're going to leave a piece of your heart there. Makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, it does, but not me. Because we love each other, and how many of us have, you know, a whole bunch of notches in our belt from relationships that have happened? You say, Jeff, that's pretty rough. It is. If you don't have oxytocin in a good quality in your body, you're going to have a difficult time connecting with people, and that is part of your biology. It is the way you're wired. It is how you are wired. We don't actually know this, but for sure what it was. But Paul had a flaw, and he talked about it all the time. He says, I have a thorn in the flesh. One area, he called it a goad. I have a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what that thorn was, but Paul carried it all his life. And Paul said it forced him to be dependent on God. His flaw forced him to be dependent on God. And that's the good news for us today. The Ten of Spades. We have a chemical makeup. And that chemical makeup makes us who we are. But it also allows us to have connection. And connection. And some of you are having a hard time with connection. Some of you, we ask you to get in a small group or to talk to somebody or to become friendly with somebody or to do something where it involves you getting in the same space as somebody else, and you're actually going, not me. I'm not going there. Paul said it forces us to be connected to God. Our flaws do. We have to go against our flaws. That's what I'm saying to you today. Number two, we'll come back to the Ten of Spades. It's a Jack of Clubs. Jack of Clubs. I dealt these. It's the hand I was dealt. I dealt these. The Jack of Clubs. It's my relationships. My relationships take my identity, and they create that part of me that is me. You are a product of your relationship, especially your early years of your relationship. When you're younger, it creates something in you that bends you a particular way. They may have been good. They may have been bad. They may have been healthy. They may have been terribly unhealthy. But they bent you toward a particular way. Study after study says how you see yourself is determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks of you. Hopefully it's your parents, but if it wasn't, there's a problem. That's why I've told you time and time again from this pulpit, the most important person in your life has to be Jesus, because he's only one that's perfect. Your parents weren't perfect, your brothers and sisters weren't perfect, and you ain't perfect. None of us are perfect. So relationships help determine your identity. They're a factor. They're so important. My connections give me purpose. They show me how I should live. And if you have a hard time with purpose in your life and you're going, I don't know why I'm here, one of the reasons you don't is because your relationships suck. People who have healthy connections, they're not going all the time, what does my life matter? But people who do have lousy connections, they're going, why'd he make me? Why am I here? What in the world is going on? Because if you feel disconnected, it's a problem, because life is all about relationships. If you don't want to be in a relationship, it's a problem. Jeff, I don't like that. One day Jesus was walking down the street and a guy comes up and said, Lord, what's life all about? Jesus said, love God with all your heart. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, be connected to God. Be connected to God. And be connected to people. Connected to God and connected to people. And if you're not, you're not going to be in harmony with God. How are you going to be in harmony with people? Look around. That's why we're in such a mess. because we're not at harmony with God. We don't trust God. We don't believe in God. We don't think there is a God. So how are we going to get along with these people he gave us? Wait. The problem with the Jack of Clubs is there are a couple problems with our relationships, and I already mentioned them. It's this. We're all imperfect, every one of us, and you're asking us to get along? Yes. And we hurt each other. What? Yes. And we misunderstand each other all the time. We can say one thing that comes out of our mouth, and our wives go, "What in the world did you just say, Sam?" And the devil uses those things and just makes it worse and worse and worse. So what happens when we get offended and we get hurt, we get disconnected from people and lots of times disconnected from God. And sin disconnects us from God and it disconnects us from people. We see this in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis. Adam and Eve are made, and they have this perfect relationship, and they had no conflict, and everything's going great. And God says, "I want you to do anything you want to do in this garden. Go crazy, Lucy. Do it all. Whatever you want to do, do it." Oh, but there's one thing. Don't go to the tree of evil. Don't eat that fruit there. One thing. They had a perfect relationship. They had no conflict. Everything's going great. And God says, "Can't you just do one simple thing? Don't eat that fruit." And they did. This is kind of funny. The first thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about this was Brenda watches our little granddaughter 3 days a week. And she comes in tooling about 8:30 every morning. And I'm sitting there. It's a highlight of both of our days. She comes walking in, strutting in. She puts her little shoes to the door, and she walks in, and she makes a tour of the house. And she goes around the house, and she shows us everything that's dangerous. If there was a knife on the ground, she'd go get the knife and just show you. Here it is. There's a knife. There's a plug over here. Let me see if I can stick my finger in it, you know, whatever. She just goes around, and she opens the cupboards, so we have to close the cupboards. We have to kid-proof every day to make sure. She shows us what's going on. And that's what I want you to see about this. The one thing they weren't supposed to do, they headed for. We're like that with kids. We're like that ourselves. Tell me something not to do, and I still will do it because you said don't do it. I know better. He gave them a choice. Don't do one thing. And so they did it. God says, "What'd you do, Adam? Lord, that woman you gave me this fruit to eat, she's defective. There's something wrong with her." See, he's not only blaming Eve, he's blaming God. "God, that woman you gave me, therefore, it's really your fault. Why'd you give her to me? Why?" See, once they sin, though, there's another factor, and you remember this because you remember the story. Once they sinned, once they did what they weren't supposed to be doing, they felt disconnected from God. Adam and Eve suddenly felt very disconnected. And the Bible says this: they went and they sewed clothing out of fig leaves and started covering up. Why? Why? Who told them to cover up? God didn't. Who told them that it was wrong to be naked? God didn't. Who told them to hide from each other in their marriage? God did not. You know who did? Sin did. That's what sin does. It causes us to cover up in our relationships. And we cover and we cover and we cover till one day it explodes in our face. There's a third problem with the Jack of Clubs relationship card, and we're going to cover this next week. And if you've got a problem with fear, please tune in next week. The more disconnected I become, listen to me, those of you that are fearful. Notice those of you that are panicking here today because something that's going on in our world. Listen to me. When I feel disconnected from God, I fear. I fear. And when I am connected to God, I'm in his shadow. I don't. And if you look around our country, we are connected by a series of stupid video snippets that most of them that are not true. And we live our lives about this. They did this, they did this, they did that. And it creates this great chasm of fear within us. And then finally, we're so crazy, we have to take a pill. We're so crazy, we look and we won't go to this place or that place, or we won't participate in that, or we won't participate in that because they do that, or they do that, or they just do that. That's a problem with our relationships. Disconnection causes fear. And if you grew up feeling disconnected, you have a hard time trusting other people. That's why some of you do not trust others, because that's where your identity was formed. We crave connection, but we fear making connections. We all want intimacy, not just sexual intimacy. We want intimacy. We want to be known. We want people to know us. But heck no, because if you know what I do, if you know what I think, it isn't going to be good. We fear being vulnerable, and that forms your identity. That takes your identity in a direction that God never intended for you to go. The problem with that, Jack, is that we have a relationship that is hurt by all these factors that I just spoke about. So I have my biology card, and that's the spades, the 10 of spades. And then I have the Jack of Club, that's my connections card. And then I have what I call the Queen of Diamonds card. The third factor that makes you you is your situations. It's your situations. And I want to spend just a minute on this. There are things that happen to you. There are things that happen around you. None of these things are in your control. Just like your chemistry, just like your relationships when you're early on. You didn't choose your chemistry. You didn't choose your relationships. And you certainly haven't chosen your situations. Some of you are in horrible situations today, and it has affected your identity. Problems shape your life. Pressures shape your life. Pain shapes your life. And that is a fact. And if you've ever been abused, and I know in a crowd like this, there's people that have been, I'm sorry. But your abuse has affected your identity. Whether it was physical, whether it was emotional, sexual, or whatever. And listen to this. If you've ever experienced rejection, that has affected your identity. And who among us hasn't faced some kind of rejection? The ultimate being that of divorce or a boyfriend that dumps you and says he loves you with all his heart. And we're going to get married someday, and we don't. If you've ever been a failure or a series of failures in your life, that has affected your identity. You start telling yourself this over and over, I'm a loser, nobody wants me, and so I'll settle for the next thing that comes along, the next thing that comes through the door. So many ladies, so many men do that. And they end up in a place they never thought they would want to be. The fourth card, that is not just the Queen of Diamonds. I can't spend much time on that one because I've spent too much time on the other ones. Is the King of Hearts. The King of Hearts. And this is what I call my consciousness or my alertness. My alertness, my self-talk, how I talk to me. That's how I think about you. Well, we talk in ourselves to our heads so much. You do it all the time. You're doing it right now. Some of you are going, Jeff, that was a good point. Some of you are saying, Jeff, that sucked. That was stupid. What do you got? And some of you are going, when are we getting out of here? You're talking to yourself. You've been talking to yourself all along today in your head. What's he talking about? We do it all the time. There's never a time in your life when you're not talking to you. Self-talk is one of the most destructive things that we have. So we have to be very careful with the King of Hearts, because that is becomes the King of our hearts that it shouldn't. There's never in a time in your life when you're not saying these things to your life. If you talk to your friends like you talk to yourself, you would have no friends. And by the way, you lie to yourself all the time. You tell yourself so many lies just to get through to the next moment. You lie and you lie and you lie. It's going to get better. I'm going to do that. Next time I won't do that. Next time I won't say that. Next time, oh, that was the only time we're going to do that. Nope. And on and on and on. The Bible says your heart is deceitful, church. You lie to yourself more than you lie to anybody else. You lie to people all the time, but you lie to yourself, and that affects your identity. Because oftentimes you don't even know who you are, because you've told so many little white lies that now they're catching up with you. And you're in a place where you're going, man, I ain't got just white lies. I'm being drugged down by my lies. Your alertness influences your identity. What I say to me, you're no good, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything, you're uncoordinated, you aren't very attractive, you are a loser, blah, 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 blah. And so when some church gets together and says, we need to be more than what we are, and we need you to do this for Jesus, you're going, blah, 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 blah. Not me. Not me. And so you file that away in your brain. So what you think about is your identity. And I've done a whole sermon series on this about what you think about. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as a man or a woman thinks in his heart, so is he or she. As you think in your heart, so are you. You become what you think about. True or the falseness. You become more truthful or you become more false. Proverbs 4:23 says this, be careful what you think about because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts run your life. If you want your life to go in a different direction, you're going to have those thoughts that lead you in a different direction and a cause and a God who leads you somewhere else than where you are. You say, Jeff, I don't think there's anything I can do to change my life. I'm on a trajectory. I've tried, and nothing's happening. You have to challenge your misconceptions about you or they will dominate your life. Remember, feelings are not fact. Feelings are not fact. I feel unattractive. That doesn't mean you are. I feel fat. That doesn't mean you are. I feel dumb. That doesn't mean you are. Feelings aren't facts. They're feelings. And feelings lie all the time. So my self-alertness, my consciousness, it affects my identity. But there's one last card that I'm going to spend all next week talking about in about 2 seconds today. It's the wild card, the Joker card, the supernatural card of Jesus. The card that makes me who I am. You know what it is? It's my choices. It's the choices you choose to do. The Bible says that you were created in the image of God. No other animals were created in the image of God. What does that mean? That means a lot of things, but here's one thing. You have a free moral choice. Dogs can't make moral choices. They have instincts, but they do not know the difference between right and wrong. You do. And you choose not to do it. Time and time again. But you've got the supernatural card. Jesus, and that wild card. You have a choice to choose because you were made in God's image. Listen to me. Angels don't have that choice. You do. Angels are up in heaven with God. They don't have that choice. You do. Truth, the freedom of choice, church, is the greatest blessing there is, it is also your greatest curse. Here's the good news about this card. God says it's a wild card, and it changes all the other cards. Your choice can determine all those other cards. And I can choose to stop believing the bad that happens to me. And I can choose to think differently with Jesus because he is supernatural. Because he can make a difference in my mind. He can make a difference in my choices. He can make a difference in the way that I live my life. And I can stop being such an idiot. I can stop making such horrible choices with my life. As the band comes and we're closing down, I want you to think about this. You say, Jeff, you didn't give me a lot of answers today. You're going to have to come back next week because I got some answers for you. This is the good news of Jesus, that we've got a supernatural wild card, and God uses it to change every suit of every card in your life and to remake it and to remold it into something that you never, ever thought possible. Ultimately, your identity relies on your choices. And as Abby sang here a little bit ago, I have to remember that I am a child of God. I'm not my father's son. I love my dad. But he is not who made me who I am. God is. The things that happened to me growing up did not make me who I am. God can overcome those things. And that's the good news that I want to share with you today, and I want to share with you next week. Ultimately, your identity is based on the things that you choose day to day. God's waiting on some of you today to use that wild card, the supernatural card, because he says, listen, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. You get to choose. When I choose Jesus as my Savior, he gives me a winning hand. Because of this card. And it makes all the other cards get in line. And it takes those factors that are tough and hard and horribly unassigned, some of them. But we got them. He wants to do something different in you. That's the news of the gospel. That he wants to share in your life, to take wherever it is you go. When I choose Jesus, choose him not just that first time. I choose him every day over myself. On July 26th, we're going to have baptisms. And I want to encourage some of you, because you've never been baptized for the first time. You never asked Jesus maybe to come into your heart. And you can do that today. Baptism, what it does is it just reminds you of whose you are. And I want to encourage you to think and pray about that. But mostly today, I want to encourage you to think about this supernatural card. I wish I had one for every one of you to take home today, but I don't. But I do have this. Jesus wants to meet you right where you are, and he wants to do something you never thought was possible. No matter if you're 75 or 12, he wants to meet you right where you are so you can do what you can with what you got. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. We just pray at this day that you would remind us that your Holy Spirit wants to come in and guide us. Your Holy Spirit wants to help us choose you, to choose life, to choose life-giving decisions and choices, to choose you over ourselves every day. And God, we ask for forgiveness, the choices that have made us us, the choices that we knew were wrong and we made them anyway. And we ask that you would begin today to make us new in the likeness of your Son. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. During this time, as the band